Okay, picture this. You're sitting in that little soundproof booth, getting your hearing tested. It's incredibly quiet, right? For a good reason.
Absolutely.
Now, imagine you need that same accuracy, but maybe you're miles from a clinic. Or in a noisy school cafeteria, maybe a construction site. No booth anywhere nearby.
That's a huge challenge.
Yep, the big problem is ambient noise, just the everyday sounds around us. It can totally mess up a hearing test.
It really can. Those very quiet beeps they use in the test to find the softest sound you can possibly hear. Well, background noise can just drown them out, especially at certain frequencies, certain pitches. If the room's too loud at that specific frequency,
You just won't hear the tone.
exactly. Even if your hearing is fine at that level, it makes your hearing seem worse than it is. It's like, trying to hear a whisper in a really loud place.
Right. And for, well, decades, the sound booth was pretty much the only way to reliably deal with that masking effect. But let's be real, booths have their downsides.
Oh, significant ones. They cost a fortune to build, first off. They're completely fixed. You can't move them. And they need regular, expensive calibration certification.
Which limits access, right?
Yeah.
Makes it hard to do quick screenings or testing in, say, remote areas where building a clinic isn't feasible.
Precisely. It restricts where and how easily hearing care can be delivered.
Which is exactly where this device, the CudaWave audiometer, comes in.
Yeah.
It's specifically designed to kind of break free from the booth.
Yes, and to really understand how it does that, we're diving into a really interesting white paper from GeoAxon, the company that makes the CudaWave.
Okay.
This paper focuses on a really critical question. How quiet exactly does the environment outside a booth need to be for the CudaWave to give accurate results? It gets deep into the science of something called maximum permissible ambient noise levels. Girls.
Imperials. Okay, the noise limit. So our mission for this deep dive is basically to unpack this paper. We want to understand the science behind the CudaWave, how it works without a booth, and look at how the current international standards play into this and maybe where they clash a bit. And then explore this really interesting proposal in the paper for maybe a single unified global standard just for this kind of technology. It's really about getting to the heart of how reliable portable hearing tests are actually possible now.
Sounds good. Let's jump in.
So we've got the main problem. Noise masks the test tones, makes tests inaccurate, and the old fix, the big expensive booth.
Correct. Standard testing methods, whether it's just headphones or even with no earphones on at all, they're very vulnerable to ambient noise. The actual sound pressure level of that noise hitting your eardrum, it has to be below a certain point.
Otherwise, it interferes.
It interferes with detecting those really quiet test tones, especially when you're testing near the limits of hearing, like 0 dB hearing level, 0 dBHL.
Okay, so the CudaWave is the alternative. What's its trick? How does it fight the noise?
They call it advanced passive sound attenuation. Basically, think of it like built-in soundproofing in the headset itself. The physical design is key. It uses these circumoral ear cups, the big ones that go around your whole ear,
Right.
and combines those with insert ear tips, little plugs that go snugly into your ear canal.
Ah, so it's a double barrier.
Exactly. That combination blocks out a significant amount of the noise from the outside world. They market the system as ambidome technology.
Ambidome. Got it.
Okay.
So the headset itself is doing a lot of the noise blocking. And this is where those MPNLs, the noise limits, become absolutely critical.
They are the benchmark. MPNLs give you the specific numbers, usually broken down by frequency, low sounds, high sounds, that tell you the absolute maximum background noise level allowed in the room for a test to be considered valid at a certain hearing level.
And standards actually require this.
Oh, yes. International standards are very clear. The environment must meet these MPNL requirements for a reliable test.
Now, the paper mentions something quite a bit. The ear is not covered or unoccluded baseline. Why is that baseline so important when we're talking about a device like the CudaWave that definitely does cover your ears?
That's a great question. It's because the established standards, they define MPNLs for different scenarios. And one fundamental scenario is the quietest level needed before you even put any headphones on, just the room itself.
Right.
That ears not covered level is like the ground floor, the basic reference point. To figure out the CudaWave's specific noise limit, you start with that baseline standard,
Right.
and then you add the amount of noise reduction the CudaWave headset itself provides, its own measured attenuation.
Ah, okay. So you take the standard for a bare ear, And then you add the CudaWave's noise blocking ability on top of that.
Precisely. It gives you a much more accurate picture for the CudaWave compared to just using some generic ears covered number that doesn't account for its specific design, its specific attenuation.
Makes sense. And the paper looks at this across different standards.
Yes. It specifically compares three major ones. SANS 101A2, that's from South Africa, ANSI S3.1 from the US, and the big international one, BSEN ISO 82531. They all specify these baseline MPNLs and often use that ears not covered idea as a starting point.
You mentioned the design ear cups and insert tips. Does the type of insert tip matter?
Oh, massively. This is probably one of the most critical practical detail in the whole paper for someone actually using the CudaWave.
Really?
Yes. The data they present shows a huge difference in how much sound gets blocked depending on whether you use foam ear tips, the squishy ones you roll up, or the silicone ear tips, the kind often used for other ear tests like tympanometry.
How big are we talking? Like a small difference?
No, it's substantial, especially down in the lower frequencies, the rumbly sounds. For instance, at 125 hertz, the data shows the foam tip blocks about 31 decibels of sound.
Okay, 31 dB.
The silicone tip at that same frequency, only about 9 dB.
Wow. That's a what, over 20 dB difference?
Exactly. More than 20 decibels difference just based on the ear tip choice at that low frequency.
So choosing foam versus silicone could literally be the difference between getting a valid test result or not, especially in a room that's not perfectly quiet.
Absolutely. That huge difference in attenuation means the maximum outside noise level you can tolerate is much, much higher if you're using the foam tips compared to the silicone ones. The paper really hammers this point home. You have to know which tip you're using to know the correct MPNL.
Okay, that's crucial. So we take the standard ears not covered baseline, add the CudaWave specific attenuation for the correct ear tip, frequency by frequency, and that gives us the CudaWave MPNL for testing down to, say, 0 dBHL.
Correct, for that threshold of normal hearing.
What if you're just doing a screening, like only checking if someone can hear down to 15 dBA or maybe 25 dBA? Does that change the noise limit?
It does, and thankfully it's pretty straightforward. This is a consistent principle across the standards, and it applies perfectly to the CudaWave as well.
Okay.
If you're only testing down to a louder level, say 15 dBHL, you can tolerate 15 dBA of more background noise. If your cutoff is 25 dBHL, you can tolerate 25 dB more noise.
You just add it on.
You simply add that threshold difference, 15 dBs or 25 dBs, directly to the MPNL that was calculated for the dear dBHL level. It makes sense, right? Louder test tones are harder to mask with background noise.
Yeah, that's logical. So when the paper does this calculation, taking the CudaWave's attenuation and applying it to the different baselines from SANS, ANSI, and ISO, you end up with slightly different MPNL numbers for the CudaWave depending on which standard you started with.
Exactly right. You end up with effectively three different sets of rules, three slightly different tables of permissible noise levels for the same device.
Mm.
So, for example, the allowed noise at 125 hertz with foam tips might be slightly different if you're following the ANSI-derived calculation versus the SANS or ISO ones.
Okay, I see the problem now. You have this portable device meant for global use, but the exact rule for how quiet the room needs to be, it depends on which standard you happen to be referencing. That sounds confusing.
It is confusing and potentially impractical, especially for, say, large health organizations working internationally or companies doing occupational health testing across different sites or even countries.
Yeah. Which set of numbers do you follow?
Exactly. It creates uncertainty. And that's the core argument the paper makes for needing harmonization, a single clear standard.
Before we get to their proposed solution, what about the other type of hearing test, bone conduction? Does the CudaWave's design help there too?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting how traditionally bone conduction testing is done with the ear canal open, unoccluded.
Right.
But the CudaWave is designed so you can do the bone conduction test with the headset still on ear cups over the ears, ear tips in place.
Oh, okay.
Which means that same passive attenuation system, the noise blocking from the ear cups and ear tips, it also works during bone conduction testing.
So it helps reduce background noise for that test too.
Yes. The paper shows how you calculate MPNLs for bone conduction similarly. You take the standard baseline for bone conduction noise levels, and you add the CudaWave's attenuation. While the baselines for BC might differ slightly between standards, the key thing is the CudaWave allows BC testing in noisier places than you could do with a completely open ear.
Got it. Okay, so back to the main issue.
Hmm.
Different standards, different MPNL numbers for the CudaWave. What's the paper's big idea for fixing this? for a single, unified global standard?
The core idea is, well, it's both simple and really quite clever because it's conservative. They propose creating one definitive CUDA Wave mPanel standard by basically combining the existing ones.
How? Do they just average the numbers out?
No, something much more rigorous. For that starting point, that unified baseline mPanel before you add the CUDA Wave's attenuation, they looked at the baseline requirements from all three standards, SANS, ANSI, ISO, at every single test frequency.
Okay.
And then for each frequency they didn't average, they took the most stringent requirement.
Most stringent? You mean the lowest allowed noise level, the quietest rule out of the three?
Precisely. The absolute lowest maximum permissible ambient noise level required by any of those three major standards at that specific frequency.
Ah. So if you meet that super strict baseline, you automatically meet the requirements of all the individual standards anyway.
Exactly. It ensures the highest level of protection against noise masking by adopting the toughest rule found anywhere in those key standards. It builds in a safety margin.
That seems like a really solid approach.
Yeah.
So the final unified CUDA Wave mPanels in the paper are the result of adding the CUDA Wave's attenuation, remembering the foam versus silicone difference, to this single super strict unified baseline.
That's correct. And this gives you one clear set of tables, one for air conduction, AC, one for bone conduction, BC, showing the permissible noise levels with the CUDA Wave, clearly stating the difference for foam versus silicone tips, and for different screening levels like 0, 15, or 25 dBHL.
Can you give an example number from that unified table?
Sure. So for instance, using that unified approach, the AC mPanel at 125 hertz, testing down to 0 dBHL with foam tips, comes out at 50 dB SPL. But with silicone tips, same frequency, same threshold, it's only 28 dB SPL.
Okay, so that huge ear tip difference is still crystal clear, but now it's within one consistent global framework.
Exactly, one rule book.
What are the big advantages then, the big picture benefits of having this single unified standard specifically for a portable device like the CUDA Wave?
Well, the benefits are pretty significant. First, global consistency. That's massive for international health groups, for multi-site research, or just for standardizing how things are done across different clinics or workplaces.
Right. Simplifies things.
Hugely. It simplifies training, simplifies quality control, and importantly, it boosts user confidence. Mm. You know you're following a standard that represents the best, most stringent practices drawn from multiple respected sources.
And the paper mentioned something really practical, almost like a killer feature,
yeah,
about how the CUDA Wave device itself could help users stick to this proposed unified standard.
Yes, this is, I think, one of the most compelling parts. The CUDA Wave hardware already has a built-in microphone system. It actually monitors the ambient noise level in the room while you're doing the test in real time.
It listens to the room.
It does. And apparently, it even applies a conservative adjustment to the noise level it shows the operator. So the paper suggests, what if you took this proposed unified mPanel standard and built it right into the CUDA Wave's software? The device itself could then become essentially a smart compliance checker.
How would that work?
Based on its real-time noise measurements and its internal knowledge of these unified mPanels, the device could potentially give you immediate feedback, like a green light. Yep, this room is quiet enough for the test you're about to run. Or a red light. Nope, sorry, it's too loud at these specific frequencies. You need to find a quieter spot or wait.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
The device itself tells you if the environment is okay, based on the super strict standard. That makes it so much easier to trust the results, even outside a booth.
Exactly. It connects the standard directly to the practical use of the technology, makes compliance much simpler and more reliable in real-world settings.
So, okay, we have this smart tech, potentially these clear, unified noise limits. But the paper still emphasizes basic good practice, right? What are those key things users still need to do?
Absolutely. Technology is great, standards are great, but user technique is still vital. The paper stresses, always pick the quietest spot you can find.
Common sense.
Right. Test during quieter times of day if noise fluctuates. Actively try to control noise nearby. You know, close doors, windows, turn off fans or machinery if possible. Ask people to be quiet.
Okay.
And this is critical in linking back to the ear tip discussion. Ensure correct, deep insertion of the ear tips. Get a good seal.
Ah, because if the fit isn't right.
If the fit isn't right, you simply won't get the noise attenuation levels that all these calculations are based on. Whether it's the individual standards or the proposed unified one, a bad ear tip seal undermines the whole premise. Proper fit is absolutely fundamental.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. So let's just quickly pull this all together. We started with the basic challenge. Background noise messing up hearing tests.
Yeah.
And how traditional booths, while effective, are limiting.
Right. And then how the CUDA wave aims to solve this using its passive sound attenuation, the ear cups, plus those crucial insert ear tips.
We define MPLs, the maximum noise levels allowed, and saw how they're calculated for the CUDA wave. You take a standard's ears not covered baseline noise level and add the CUDA wave's specific noise reduction.
And we really highlighted that critical difference between foam and silicone ear tips. Huge impact on the resulting MPNL, especially at low frequencies.
Yeah, can't stress that enough. Then we saw the problem. Applying this logic to different international standards, SANS, ANSI, ISO, gives you slightly different results, different MPNL tables for the same device. Confusing.
Mm-hmm. We also touched on how the CUDA wave's design helps with bone conduction testing and noise too.
Which led us straight to the paper's core proposal, creating a single, unified global standard for CUDA wave MPLs.
Built on that conservative principle, taking the most stringent noise requirement from any of the three standards at each frequency to create a new super protective baseline.
And adding the CUDA wave's attenuation to that results in one clear, consistent set of rules for global use, offering clarity, simplifying protocols.
And excitingly, the potential for the CUDA wave device itself, with its real-time noise monitoring, to integrate this unified standard and actively guide the user, ensuring compliance on the spot.
So wrapping it all up, what's the really big takeaway here? Why does this matter?
I think it's fundamentally about access. This kind of rigorous, science-backed approach shows that accurate, reliable hearing testing doesn't have to be chained to a sound booth anymore.
Right.
It means testing can potentially happen in schools, in workplaces, in remote community clinics, in mobile health vans places. It just wasn't feasible before. It dramatically expands who can get tested and where. It's about bringing essential hearing healthcare closer to people globally.
And maybe a model for other tech.
Absolutely. This whole methodology, analyzing existing standards, measuring a specific device's capability, proposing a unified conservative standard, and then potentially integrating that standard into the device for real-time validation that could be a powerful template for other portable diagnostic tools moving forward.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? How might this kind of standardized, validated, portable diagnostic technology, not just for hearing, but maybe other things too, how might that fundamentally change the landscape of global healthcare access over the next few years? If you can truly bring reliable diagnostics to the patient wherever they are, well, that could change everything.